All right, we're going to work as a team here. First, we're going to go around the room, and we'll all say our first concert. Then we'll decide of the five of us, we'll decide who had the worst, who has the worst first concert.
Okay.
And then we'll go up against the phones.
Nice.
Okay? 203-882-9757. Let's see. Dylan Fearon, Channel 3. Who was yours?
Fetty Wap.
Fetty Wap.
Right, it's not
that,
dessert.
That okay. might take the cake. Well, right. Yeah, not a dessert, though.
Comedian Emily Sierra.
Mine was Grand Funk Railroad at the Biggie.
That's nice. A good one. Okay, that's Dylan, you're wonderful. In the lead.
Nice.
Ruth?
Whitney Houston.
Oh. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's great.
Classic.
The Crack is Whack Tour, nice.
Pre.
Right. AJ?
Kiss, Destroyer Tour.
That's a good one.
Madison Square Garden.
Me was Electric Light Orchestra, which is not as bad as Fetty Wap. So you're in the lead, Dylan.
Right.
Phil?
It would be 1999, Britney Spears in a not-sold-out... small theater in Schenectady, New York.
Wow. That's close, no?
That is close.
That's close.
Who do we like here as a winner?
I like
Fetty Wap only because no one talks about him anymore.
Right. Yeah. Even Fetty Wap.
Like, I know. He came in, like, introduced a genre of music and then was just gone.
Right. Later.
Also, how many people can say their first concert was Fetty Wap? Probably not that many people.
I don't think
you're
so.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even you're Fetty Wap was amazed.
Like, we're still reading about Britney Spears, not in the best way, but she's still relevant. All right, we'll go with Fetty Wap.
He's putting his good eye right now.
Perfect.
Mark in Bristol.
Hey, guys. So my first concert was when I started working. It was like 20, 21 years old. I was working the underground at Webster Theater, and they did ICP. And I don't know if you know the band, but I know what it's like to swim in a bath of soda. They basically spray their entire crowd with Faygo soda, and then the rest of it gets dumped on the bouncers that are on the front rails there, which is where I was standing. And nobody warned me about the show beforehand, so my phone and everything else got ruined, and I went home a sticky mess.
Why would it be my CP? I do.
I never heard of them.
ICP.
Have you?
No.
In Sing Club.
You see, Mike?
Yeah, in Sing Club.
We got a theory.
Yes.
Insane Clown Posse.
Yes.
I don't know if I can even play this, honestly.
Yeah. I don't think you can.
I pulled up the clean version, but I never trust it when I just grab it off of YouTube.
Yeah, I love the song F the World. That's a good one.
That seemed like a cool show.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't think that beats
Pop. ICP. No, it sounded weird before, but now it's...
Okay. Thank you. But you don't lose.
No.
So, good for you.
Yeah, look at you.
Someone has to get gold.
Right.
Paul in Wallingford.
All right. First was 38 Special. It's a really quick story. Short version, I was working at the Oakdale, and I was leaving for the day. One of the roadies asked me to help them for an hour. He'd give me $20. So I go to help him. I leave after an hour. He doesn't pay me, and I'm walking away, and he says some colorful comments. I said some colorful comments back. He says it to me, and then he picks up a giant tape ball and throws it on my head.
Wow.
Short story, wait. Nice, simple, sweet, 30th special. Have a great day.
All right, thank you.
He told you to hold on, but you held on loosely and you let go. Look at him pull that 30th special.
Yeah, right. I saw 38th special and... Kansas at the New Haven Coliseum, and somebody showed up with a giant snake wrapped around them.
Oh.
Like,
wow.
They're up in front. And Steve Walsh from Kansas is singing, and he's into it, and he gets up front. This went back when the crowd could come right up to the stage.
Yeah.
There was no barrier. And Steve Walsh is singing, and he's looking at the crowd, and he sees he almost, like, jumps.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't expect to see that.
You don't expect to see a giant 6-foot snake.
Who's
in the
audience?
You don't
need to, for the concert, my snake. This would go really well with these jeans I'm wearing.
Let's see. I got my tickets. Right. I got my weed.
Snake.
Right.
What am I missing?
Does the snake need a ticket, though?
Right.
Yeah.
How did he get the snake in?
Right. No, you don't want to know. They just thought he was gifted.
Nick in New Haven.
Hey, Chess. How are you?
Hey, you got the whole crew.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'll tell you what I said to Phil. That what I admit to is I went to, I think it was the Moving Picture Store. It was Rush in the 80s. But the real truth is, when I was a kid during the Brady Bunch era, a very nice lady in the neighborhood took a bunch of us to the New Haven Arena to see the Partridge Family.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear Lord.
I'm getting mad just hearing this. Shut up my info.
on. You should go into hiding for this.
This has got to be early 70s, man. Yeah. This has got to be 40 years ago, you know.
Yeah, but, more than that.
Phil, make it stop.
They ruined your math.
The only thing that saves you in this story is that you didn't have any control. It wasn't like you bought tickets and you drove yourself there.
Yeah, you're like forced.
No, Dylan picked his show.
The only way I can go from there, Chaz, is up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the bottom.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Thank you, Nick.
Should be some kind of like federal protection program for him.
I know, right? There are some good ones here.
Yeah, your name's now Vito.
We got Big Chris, Rick James. Jody saw Ted Nugent.
Nice. Those are all cool concerts.
Those are cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wendy in Berlin saw Frank Zappa. That's
very
a great first concert.
Very cool.
Fetty Wap is still in the running, I think, only because Dylan picked it.
Right. And Fetty Wap right now is saying, thank God.
I picked it. I walked over.
All right.
I was with my friend. Yeah, totally my decision.
And right now, Fetty Wap's ears are burning. Well, the good ear.
Dylan Fearon from Channel 3 is here. Fetty Wap was his first concert.
Aficionado. Down with it.
Dylan Trap King.
I'm almost speechless. Should I have just seen the concert with one eye? Should I have done this the whole show?
Yeah. That would have been helpful.
Have you seen anything cool since?
How do you top that?
I don't know. Well, again, I would go to all the spring concerts at QU, but again, my family's always into the Broadway shows. I've probably seen Jersey Boys 4 or 5 times.
That's cool.
I've seen all the classics. Yeah, it's good stuff. And I'm a North Jersey guy, so all those guys were around there. So
like in your DNA.
Obviously some connection. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're great.
Hey, yo.
Bob from Durham might have a worst first concert.
Ooh.
Bob?
Hey, Bobo. So, hey, Chaz. Hey, AJ.
Hey.
So, I called in. So, Rugrats, the cartoon show.
Yes.
That's not a concert.
That's a kid's show.
That's not a concert.
Like Disney on Ice.
And why were you 34?
You should be embarrassed just that you're calling that a concert.
No. I think I just bumped down to silver.
What's with the overcoat?
This is not a concert.
You got a pocket full of gummy worms.
You went to a children's show.
Hopefully with your kids, right?
Or you were a kid. How old were you?
I was going to pick some out.
I was 12 years old, and I called in the Weeby 108 and won the ticket.
Wow.
All right. Well,
thanks for investing in the company.
Is that embarrassing when you're 12?
When you're 12, yeah.
Now
27,
I feel
bad. Yeah, they put you on a list. Yeah, you don't.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. We'll take one more.
I need a shower after that one.
Wow. Sounds like Karen's in an airplane. Karen, Long Island.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
Truck dusting.
My first concert was John Denver. I was 14. I went with my mom and my sister and my cousin.
The Human Muppet. Was it the
singer? I'm glad you picked this one because this is the worst. Like if you pick thank God I'm a country boy, I'm like, that's kind of fun.
Too bad.
Yeah.
I still listen to him if it means anything.
I have this urge to put on Hush Puppies right now.
My mother used to clean the house and listen to John Denver, so she wanted to go. So we.
That's
went
what happens.
Her.
So mom was
our
on
parents
weed.
Do this to us.
Mom was on weed. There was a funny smell in the air. I remember that. She baked a lot.
All right, thank you, Karen.
Wow.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Yeah, he was like the most like guest star on the Muppets. He was a Muppet.
Yeah, Muppets. Did he have his own show? This is back when they gave everyone a variety show.
I think he did for a little while.
I think he probably had his own variety show.
I believe he did, yeah.
Yeah, he was in movies.
Yeah. He was in Oh God. He was the guy that George Burns was God and like talking to him.
Yeah, but he was in a couple of movies. Like, he was a big deal.
Yeah. Not much of a pilot, though.
My mom loved him.
I think when they were recording USA for Africa.
They said, don't come?
It was either that or one of those where they had everybody come in and like every artist in the world, every top artist.
Yeah.
It was USA for Africa. Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie.
Right.
Bruce Springsteen, Huey Lewis, Cindy Lauper, Bob Dylan,
right.
Stevie Wonder, you name it. They're all in the room. And Paul Simon says to somebody, hey, you know what? This bomb if a bomb goes off and we all die, John Denver has a career again.
And John Denver thought it was funny because he was holding the microphone.
Wow, get him on a roast battle.
I know. Yeah, really.
That's pretty great. Good.
Wow, that's awesome.
Snarky Paul Simon.
Wow.
Dylan Ferentz. So he went to Quinnipiac, but then he went and covered the Final Four as a reporter. How nice. Cool is that?
Yeah, that was great.
I'm sorry, the Frozen Four.
Yeah, the Frozen Four. So that was last spring, and to see them win the national championship after getting there a couple of times was just fantastic, especially as an alum and then as a reporter for Channel 3, just being there in person down in Tampa. Couple of stories about that, though. I mean, we flew on a Wednesday. They played the semifinal on a Thursday, and the station saying, look, if they lose on Thursday, you're coming right back first thing Friday morning. I'm like, oh, we're going all the way to Florida, seeing QU. Like, just win the semifinal on Thursday so we can stay in Florida a couple of days and at least see them play for the championship.
Yeah. Right.
And they crushed Michigan. If anyone nice. Watched those games, I mean, they crushed Michigan in the semis, and they beat Minnesota in the championship. They ended up beating three Big Ten schools in a row to win the national championship.
That's a huge deal in hockey.
Huge.
Shouldn't that be a movie?
That's a huge deal.
Yeah. It's like a movie. Right.
They didn't want to let him down, man. They're like, come on, the poor guy wants to go.
And especially the story with the coach, Rand Pecknold, how he built the program from pretty much nothing.
D3.
He was a teacher. He would practice like at midnight when he first started out with the team, and then he just has built this into a national champion. It was so great. And the way they won 10 seconds into overtime.
Oh, man.
It was unbelievable. They were down 2-0. They fought back in the third period. They somehow managed to make it 2-2, goes to overtime. And within like 9 seconds into overtime, they won the championship. You couldn't even believe it. You blinked and it was over.
You could fit the whole overtime period onto an animated GIF that you get. You don't even need anything. Yeah.
It was a face-off, like 2 or 3 passes. Bang, game over. And the championship was won. So it was really cool for me to be there. Cover it for Channel 3, and as an alum, see a ton of my friends, former professors, athletic director, presidents, everyone being there, and just so happy.
That's bananas.
Yeah.
It was bananas. Great.
Yeah.
That is a movie.
Yeah, it is.
That really is a movie.
I think it is, yeah.
I mean, that should be made.
Should.
Yeah. A good Connecticut movie?
Yeah. Give it like 10, 15
years. It's like Miracle on Ice.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, it really is. It really is. Proud alum.
Excellent.
What's this Bill O'Reilly story? You have something that ties into his meltdown?
This is funny. So everyone, of course, knows the Bill O'Reilly meltdown. He was on Inside Edition.
Yeah.
It's famous.
Do it live!
You're right.
I'll write it, and we'll do it live!
Yeah. Thing sucks. Yeah. my dad actually works at Inside Edition, and my parents were both there when the show started back in 1989. My dad's still there to this day.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, Inside Edition?
Yeah, which actually is on Channel 3, which is also kind of cool. So anyway, my parents are moving. This is probably 5 or 6, 7 years ago, and we got all these boxes, there's all these VHSs, all these VHS tapes, and I'm moving this with my dad, and I see O'Reilly Meltdown Raw or something.
Nice.
And I'm like, this is the original tape. My dad was there when that happened. And
he was in the room?
Yes, he wasn't yelling at my dad.
No.
But yes.
Did everyone know instantly, like, oh, we're keeping this?
This is gold.
Yeah. I don't really know how that leaked out, but it somehow got out.
Some guy grabbed a VHS tape.
I don't think Bill O'Reilly's actually mad that that's out. I mean, obviously he doesn't look great, but I think it's sort of kept him going.
It shows he's human.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
He was just telling the story to Tucker Carlson that it was just a lot of outtakes.
Yep.
First they couldn't get the sound right, then they couldn't get this right, then this... And it was over and over and over. And then they were getting up against the clock. And he was like,
right. The show isn't live, but it's like live to tape. Like they have to get it in by a certain time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think they were, you know, against the clock. And it was getting very close. And I think he just, you know, it happened. So,
so two funny things. He gets up at one point, goes to take off his jacket. And then he's like, no, I need this. Puts it back on. And then he actually nails the live take. So they come back and he nails it.
But once he nails it, then they go to this like wide shot from up above. And you just see him like throw the
mic.
But honestly, good for him. He crushed it. He actually worked at Channel 3 a really long time ago.
Oh, wow. Is that right?
Yeah, briefly, but way back when he was first starting out.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I don't think I knew that ever.
Yeah, yeah. It was brief.
I don't think I knew that and forgot it. I just think I never knew it.
It was a segment called "What Ticks Me Off."
A lot of big talent has come through Channel 3.
Yeah, Gail King was at Channel 3 for Joe Tessitore, who does play-by-play for ESPN, college football. There's been a lot.
What does your dad do at Current Affair?
Inside Edition.
Inside Edition.
He's a producer. He's been a producer for a long time.
He
does a great job. I think the writing on that show is fantastic. He loves it. And I think that's one of the reasons why I got into this business was because I'm a kid and we get home, dinner's ready, and we put on the show at 7 o'clock, 7:30 on CBS, and I just watched a lot of his writing, and I think I just picked it up.
Yep. So he's in television, and your mother's in television.
She was. She was like the publicist for the show, so she worked a lot with Bill.
Oh, is that how they met?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And you wouldn't think, you know, my mom's from Queens, my dad's from England, and my dad ended up moving to America to get into this business, and I guess it just clicked, luckily, because I'm here. So
that's a cool story.
I'm picturing holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, turkey, our top story.
Yeah, exactly. There's definitely a lot of news talk, but luckily I switch into sports and get away from all of it. All the time.
I'm talking Inside TV with Dylan here. Wow. I could do this all day.
Yeah.
This is great.
He's very good at it,
yeah,
by the way. Have you ever seen him on TV?
Yes, I have.
He's very tall.
Yep.
You only see like his up to his neck.
Yeah, I need a bigger TV.
But
yeah,
that only happened in the last few months. I was like 5'8" like last year.
Get a growth spurt.
I woke up one morning. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm 6'5".
There was these beans I bought.
I just see this. I just see this tie, and it's like, oh, it must be Dylan. Right?
I see bottom of a chin, Dylan.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'5".
Oh, that's a good height.
I've had aspirations to be 6'5".
But I'll never forget, I remember as a child, my mom was like, well, we spoke to the doctors. They say, you know, you guys are going to be like 6'4". Me and my brother. My brother's also 6'5".
Wow.
And my mom's like, you know, 6'4 is perfect. Anything taller than that, it's like a little weird. And now that I'm 6'5", my brother's 6'5", I always, you know, get on my mom. So I'm just like a weirdo now, Mom?
Yeah.
Is that it?
I'm weird.
It's too much.
Yeah. 1 inch makes you weird.
Yeah. Now that 1 inch.
That high thing on the shelf.
But that's I've met Patrick now. Ewing, I've met CC Sabathia, and I've felt short around them. So
right,
yeah,
in grocery stores, and I'm like, whoa,
right. Yeah.
So it's cool.
Can you reach the toilet paper and the pallet over there, please?
I've been in grocery. People ask, hey, can you just, you know, get that can of soup from the top or something, whatever? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Why? Oh,
yeah.
All the jokes.
Yeah.
I
get told not to touch
What's
anything.
What's the weather like up there?
Oh, that. Oh,
right. Hey, how's the closet up there?
Do you play basketball? And I'm like, I ran cross country in college, but it got to be so bad that I just was like, I'm just going to say yes, and I'm going to say I hope the Knicks are looking at me. I have a workout with the Knicks.
Right.
I play at UConn. I play
right,
the Rutgers.
Just play into it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Or you should just be like, yeah, actually, I'm big into curling.
Yeah, and actually exactly. Play hockey.
I'm a power lifter. Yeah. Dylan Farron, Channel 3 in studio. You were attacked by a three-legged dog.
Yes, I was 8 years old. I was going to summer camp, and the summer camp bus is waiting for me outside my house. And as I'm walking from my front door to the bus, all of a sudden there was like a three-legged bulldog, not on a leash. The owner's like there, not on a leash. And all of a sudden, bang, right at me, my bagged lunch ripped. He's on top of me. And, you know, the three legs, I mean, that doesn't help. You know what I mean? I'm just like...
Typically, a dog that has three legs is so crazy. It just runs out in front of stuff and was almost killed.
Yeah. So from then, I'm just like scarred. And there was another incident I was in.
So wait, it just knocks you over?
And then what? Well, again, I'm 8, so I'm not like 6'5".
Yeah,
right? So
exactly.
I'm 8, so it just, bang, comes for me. It's on top of me. I'm like just screaming.
It's barking, biting? What's it doing?
It's not biting, luckily. I think it's just like, it's probably licking. It probably didn't mean to be that angry, but I'm just
scary as all hell.
Did you not think you could outrun the three-legged dog?
It was one of those things where you're so scared at first, you just
freeze. Which leg was missing?
Yeah.
It was front or a back?
It was definitely one of the back ones.
Right.
Which
you could have beaten it.
I could have beaten it, but it's one of those things where you get so scared, you just freeze.
Yeah.
You're just like, whoa, what's happening? He's only got three legs.
As soon as he starts catching up, you just take a quick left.
And I had a nice turkey sandwich in there.
Just roll.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, the bus counselor, like, finally, like, realized what was happening, got out. The owner was, like, not doing anything. I'm like, are you going to help?
Right.
And there was another incident in Boy Scouts a few years later where a giant dog just, like, started jumping on me, and I didn't know what to do, and I think I, like, kneed it in the face. And from then, I'm just like...
You're not a dog person.
Not really. But now, obviously, 20 years later, I'm like...
Do you have dogs?
No.
Okay.
The three-legged dog said, I'm looking for the man to shut my paw.
Jerry Seinfeld had, like, a bit once where he was like, if aliens were looking down at us, they would think that dogs ruled the world. We're walking it. We give it a home.
Right.
We're picking up its poop.
Yep.
All this stuff. That they would be the ones ruling
it.
I think at one point he said, man's best friend... get a human best friend.
Right.
And I sort of live by that.
Yeah. You have rituals before you go off to work?
Rituals?
Before a live shot, before I'm reporting the news, a lot of slow, deep breaths, you know, relax.
Oh,
you know, this is a lot of very important information for the public. You don't want to speak too fast. I'm from North Jersey, close to New York City. I typically will talk a little faster than most people. You got to slow it down so they can retain the information.
Interesting.
And there's a lot to go over, and you don't want to miss anything. So I almost like tighten up my feet a little bit, couple of deep breaths, and then the anchors toss, and then you just go.
Live shots are so... The reporters who do live shots now are so much better than 10 or 20 years ago. You can just see this becoming more and more of an art form.
Thank you. Yeah, and there's no teleprompter. I don't know if the viewer... There's...
Well, no, and back in the day, you used to stand there with a notepad.
Yeah.
And they would read off their notes, and it's like, okay, very good.
Yeah. Right, that
was good.
Yeah.
You know, now you're just...
Right. You just
what do you got to cover? Like you do probably a 30 or 40 second setup to your tape.
Right.
And then you come back.
We have a couple of different shows. So I'm usually, you know, at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And they're different variations of the same story. But yeah, you just try, you know, you have to know the story. You can't, you know, I'm not memorizing lines. You just have to know it. You have a couple of bullet points in your head that you want to touch on. And you're like, okay, let's go. And you just hit them.
You ever have an anchor ask you a question you didn't have an answer for, or that you just answered? If you were paying
attention, as I said earlier,
that's right, and then the same exact thing. No,
but to reiterate,
we do write a script.
Well, like I said, Jim.
Well, he's from Jersey. I'll just say, what are you stupid?
we do write a script, and so, but sometimes they'll you know, and I love all the anchors at Channel 3. I love them all.
But no, sometimes, but it's a lot of work, you know, a lot of stories.
Maybe there's an extra question, then I'll be like, oh, I was going to answer the other question. So now what am I? I'm like, which one do I answer?
Recalculate.
But it's a lot of fun.
Oh, no, a dog!
You know what you do? you start buying into a Twix.
Yeah.
You need a moment.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I try to have fun, but a lot of the times the stories are very, you know, serious. So I do enjoy the days where there's a lot of fun stuff. Kind of like Josh, where we're talking about the wrong way detectors, but we're trying to have fun with them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Emily's from Glastonbury, and you guys were talking about a story out of Glastonbury that you're covering.
Yeah, there's a former police officer. He resigned about a month ago, but he was arrested, and he's on $1 million bond. So it's clearly
That's a very serious...
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very serious case. The problem is his arrest warrant sealed for like the next week. So we don't know exactly what happened here, but we have some sort of idea. He was charged with a computer crime and going into like this police database where you're only supposed to go in there for your own like police investigation. You can't go in there for personal matters or personal gain, but he was alleged to have going in there for some sort of personal gain. We don't know exactly what, but these are all accusations. But $1 million bond for that is a little... suspicious. You know, there must be something else going on. And I was in court with him the other day. The judge is like, this is just the beginning. There's more coming. So next Thursday, the 12th, that warrant's going to get unsealed and we'll have a better idea of what exactly this guy allegedly did. They arrested him at a flight school in New Jersey. He was trying to, you know, he claims he was trying to get into aviation, but the judge was like, I got to keep you on this $1 million bond because you could be planning like an escape. So that's what she said. So we'll see what happens.
Damn.
Wow.
There's also... They were looking into a burglary investigation, and
have you ever had an anchor say, "Damn"?
Yeah, you can't swear. Something like
that,
right?
No, Mark Zinni would say that.
Damn.
Mark
Zinni. Yeah, Mark
Zinni. Damn.
Snap.
Usually, it's the more professional version of "That's shocking, Dylan." What do you know?
Yeah, if you run underneath, it says "Damn." Yeah.
Shocking.
Maybe tonight. Maybe tonight.
Well, you got a good crew over there.
Yeah, you do.
Man.
It's great. We have a lot of fun. A lot of great people.
We love Dana and Scott Haney, of course.
The best. Scott is just as funny and great personality off the air as it is on. You know, he's the same guy. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, great people. Mark Robbins, Roger Suzanne, and they've been on here.
We have a picture somewhere of Mark Robbins without his shirt on.
Yes.
He lost the bet.
We didn't ask for it.
He lost the bet.
We got like 3 a.m.
Was this like 15 years ago?
It was not that long. It was March Madness, and he was picking UConn, I think, to lose. We're like, nope, you're wrong, and he was wrong. So we're like, yeah, you got to send us a shirtless picture. I don't know why it was that. Something must have been in the news we were talking about.
I got some from Dr. Nipples.
It had to be another story. But he took the picture in his daughter's room. So he's shirtless with like this lavender
pink
background.
Yes.
A bunch of Barbie dolls behind him.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes.
Dude.
How does he not pick UConn? You know, Joe Zone.
Wait. here's what's weird is to Dylan, it's like, how does he not pick UConn?
Not being shirtless.
Shirtless in his daughter's room?
He didn't bet on Kemba Walker.
You missed the headline.
How do you not trust Kemba Walker? Come on. But that's funny because Joe Zone actually picked UConn last year and they won. So, you know.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway.
But anyway, that was a good time for Mark to be shirtless because he was in great shape then. Like, now wouldn't be that. Mark, I love you, man. You know, I wouldn't want to take one either.
He knows.
Dylan Farron, Channel 3, thanks for coming in.
Guys, this has been great. Hope
a lot of
back
fun.
Soon.
Thank you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.